Friday. The way that nature intended it.
Hello, everybody. This is Andy Lopez, the incredibly handsome and famous invisible gardener. Everybody, hang on. Here we go. This song is called, believe it or not, Coffee. I wrote this song yesterday morning because I ran out of coffee and I didn't want to go to the store, so I wanted my coffee hit, so I wrote a song called Coffee. It does the same thing that coffee does. There's a frequency in there that stimulates certain glands in your body, which then, you know, makes you feel you're drinking coffee. Oh yeah, and the song is about 2 hours long because I couldn't stop it. No, it's not 2 hours long. I think it's it's only a short one, 5 minutes long. But I wanted to play it for you all and start I always start each show with a little song that I write. I do about a new song every day. By the way, on the line is, let me see if I pronounce it right, Teresa Nicasio.
That's it, Teresa Nicasio. Oh. Well done, Andy.
Wow. Well, that's because of Deborah. You know, you talked with Deborah?
Yeah, Deborah seems like a doll. What a great person to have in your world.
She is. I'm glad I encountered her because, you know, when you have people on as a guest, you got to treat them with respect. And on top of that, you have to, you know, not only let people know that who you are, but you actually have to tell people that you're going to be on. And that's one of the things is that you came on so soon and you don't, I like to have it, you know, months in advance so you can work on it, right? So mm-hmm. I may have to get you to come back again, okay?
Oh, well, we can do that anytime.
But people don't know who you are, so I'm not as formal as most hosts are. Who, you know, I'm supposed to read this show right up about who you are. You're the juris psychologist, the author, radio show host, a chef, and a nutritional educator, which is kind of cool. And you do a one of the things that's interesting: yum, plant based recipe for a gluten free diet. Yum.
Right? Yeah. Absolutely. It kind of named itself because the food was so delicious, even though it didn't have all the typical ingredients. And people were just like, yum, seriously, this doesn't have sugar. This doesn't have gluten. What? It doesn't have all this, you know, all the crap. And I was like, yeah. So it named itself, which was pretty neat.
So I have a list of 10 questions. Usually what I do is I tell people, send me 10 questions so that I can sort of, I have no guarantee that I'll even cover those 10 questions because I'm not, it's my show. I do whatever I want to do. I usually bounce them back and forth with the guests, you know, because I've been on a guest myself almost all my life. But what, you know, what I'm curious is that you do a, your own radio show, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. I do.
And you have a 3 million monthly listeners?
Yeah, it's as of January, it was over 331,000 monthly listeners, not including the podcast listeners. So it's
Can I be like your handyman on the show?
You can be my handyman. Well, you're going to be on my show in October. I can't wait.
Oh, am I? Am I? Deborah didn't say a word. I don't know. I don't remember anything anymore, you know, so...
Oh, but I thought it was you who told me you wanted to be on it.
Of course. That's the reason why I contacted you, or maybe Deborah contacted me who contacted you, or maybe somebody contacted you. I don't know anymore. I'm running around in circles because there's so much going on everywhere. I've been doing a radio show since 1970, you know.
Wow, that's amazing.
And I used to go drive to the studio, you know, and you pay a lot of money per hour. And so it's only recently into 19, I don't know how long I've been on the internet, you know, but I remember in 84, I think I was still semi-internet then. Anyway, it's not about me, but so you, that's one of my goals really is to reach lots and lots of people through the internet, which is absolutely amazing. I get calls from around the world. It's wonderful being able to help people. But listen, about you, one of the things, reasons why, you know, I do a show called, I have five radio shows, and one's called The Body in the Garden. Yeah, and there is there's not only, you know, especially like in your case, because, you know, what we're talking about you is you're really good at, amongst other things, food and eating right, which is important, right?
Well, that's one of the things, because I actually see food and, you know, what we put in our body is really part of a much bigger issue and question.
Yeah.
Because it's really... it's interesting because you're saying it's not about you, but the reality is, Andy, I think this show is about you. It's about you. Oh. It's about me. It's about everyone.
Yeah,
and
right.
It's really about how are we thinking about the world? How are we thinking about our bodies? How are we thinking about each other? And so when we nourish ourselves, whether it's through food, whether it's through our thoughts, or whether it's how we treat our relationships, all of that really impacts our our functioning and the trajectory of not just our experiences, but even the future generations. So that's really what I love to talk about. The food is just a great metaphor, but it's also it's what we come from, right? I mean, how do we build the cells in our body without food?
I like you already because that's why I do the show, The Body in the Garden, because the two have to be connected and harmonious. It's very hard to meditate if your environment is toxic and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And you want to live a happy life, well, you got to pay attention to, you know, because everything we do affects everything else, including the garden, including the earth, including the soil. And and the two are so, because, you know, one of the things I've learned as a child is that, I'll give you a really strange experience. I used to go to, my mother's from Puerto Rico, my dad's from Cuba, so every summertime I would get shipped out to either one of them. And on the Puerto Rican side, I remember my great-grandmother, big giant garden, go out there and pick. And I remember one instance where I was picking some carrots and I went over and washed it, right? Mm-hmm. And she's watching me and I come over to her and I was happy. Look, I got a carrot. She says, oh, I don't know. She in Spanish. I'm translating it for you in English. But she basically says, okay, wait a second. Stick the carrot back in the ground and then eat it. And then take it out and eat it. Don't wash it. I said, why? They're going to get this dirt and all this stuff. And on top of that, you guys use animal manure. You make something weird with it and you put it in the ground. No way am I going to do it. She says, no. One of the reasons why you're eating the carrot is you want to get some of the soil in your tube, because the soil is very good for your stomach. And she was absolutely right in the sense that the biomed of the stomach, the microbes and everything in there, where do they think they evolved from? They evolved from the earth, and the earth is this. I tell people the topsoil is the skin of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
How long would you live if your skin, if you damaged and burned your skin? And so we're so closely intertwined with each other, and we have to learn how to not only eat right, because that's a big thing right there.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Many things about all the toxins and everything, but we also have to live right and meditate right, and at the same time, it should overflow into the soil and our property around us, right?
Yeah.
Yes? No?
You know, and I love that you're talking about soil, because, you know, people think about soil as you know, dirt.
Yeah.
And we treat it. We treat it like it's terrible, and then we kill the life that's within it. And just like in our bodies, we are, what is it, something like, I don't remember what it is, but it's like something like 70% of us, or something, or more, is microbes that aren't even from our DNA, and it's the same microbes that are in the soil. So it's really a serious concern, and I love what you're doing.
And that's why I like what you're doing, because you're like an opposite of me in a different way, because, you know, you're an environmentalist. Of course you have to be an environmentalist. What are you going to do, walk around in a spacesuit inside and say, I'm healthy inside the spacesuit? No, you got to breathe the air. You got to, you're right, you
yeah,
know, in order
absolutely.
To be well. And,
yeah,
and I like the, could you explain the I can't pronounce it, intricate. By the way, I'm having dental work, so I'm having really hard time with these fancy words. This was integrative.
Integrative. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Integrative.
You can't pronounce that 5 times. I bet you can't do it.
I probably can't.
So what is that, and how is that? Because I'm so far out of the box. I threw the box away a long time ago. So
yeah.
I like that you're integrative. Out of the box psychologist, because that sounds like something that I would be doing.
Yeah, well, this is it, and so basically, you know, whether we want to think about it as integrative or holistic, it's very similar. It's basically,
yeah.
I don't limit myself to the conventional ways of thinking. I don't limit myself to the conventional Western ways of thinking, as well as
Eastern.
Science. You know, there's science, there's spirituality, there's a lot of places, and we have access of knowing a lot of things that don't necessarily fit in one box or another box. Or and I think that that's actually one of the problems we have on our planet, is we've become such specialists that we've lost sight of the whole picture. Yeah, sure, we can look at a tree or a couple trees, but what about the forest? And what about the ocean that's near the forest? So that's why, and it's a whole other long story, but how I move from being a more conventional psychologist, although I was already quite integrative already in that way, but having life touch me and getting very, very sick and not knowing, well, we never know if we're going to wake up the next day, but not knowing if I was going to make it even to 50, that it's very humbling, and it brought me to my knees and into that blend of curiosity and, you know, different kinds of healing modalities, whether it's shamanic modalities, whether it's looking at medicine, looking at herbology. And I became a student of life, osteopathic modalities.
You're probably on one of many lifetimes in one life. You know, for me, what I mean to say is, you know how people say cats have 9 lives?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I feel like, you know, humans have like something similar to that, but you have to die one of those lives and then you have a major life experience. You say, well, I lost that one life, but hey, look at what I got out of that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And so that's what you're basically talking. You went through a major life changing thing where all of a sudden you said, whoa, that was intense, but hey, look what I got out of that. And it's sad when people go through that. They don't get it. And it's great when you say, wow, look at what I got out of that. And you take that and you use that to take you further, right?
Yeah, it's like another form of gardening. It's like you can either choose to harvest the abundance that's given to you, or you can let it die on the vine. And I really like to live fully and experience. And if the harvest is not something I can use, maybe I can offer it to someone else. But finding ways to utilize as many of these gifts that we have, and to help each other, and it's not just about ourselves; it's about helping each other as well.
Right. You know, my mother's family is from, turns out it's from Yugoslavia, okay? And they're a traveling gypsy band who moved to the Caribbean to get away from Hitler.
Wow.
And on my dad's side, they're from the plains of Spain, ancient sailors, right?
Mm.
And so on my mom's side, she was, as I said, traveling gypsy band. And you know how, if you think about gypsies, you think tarot cards, you think all this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's pretty much true in a lot of ways, because my mom was very important to me in opening my eyes to nature, to the earth, to energy, to all the different out of the box, which to me, I thought was in the box. It was, to me, is normal to look at an energy being of the tree, how trees communicate, or ants communicate. So that's not out of the box for me at all. And so I grew up that way. That's how I got the name Invisible Gardener. Okay. You know, and I actually do music. I work on frequencies because I, at an early age, I hear color and see sound. So that was kind of interesting. So I relate to frequencies. The music you heard this morning has certain tones in it. I work a lot with, I call it inner gardening music, by the way. And it was originally meant to play in the garden. You take the speakers out and you play it to the garden because the energy, the bugs love it, the trees love it, everything loves it. And that's the basic idea of it, is all energy. And I love running across other people who are getting to that same area, and they're looking at all this stuff in lots of different ways. Like, for example, sustainable living to me is, how can you not live otherwise, right?
Right.
You know, right?
Well, we say that, but but you know, we just look around and we can see what's happening. Well, one of the ways we can do that is by trying to pretend that it's not really. If we can deny reality, if we can deny that the climate is changing, if we can deny that the consumerism and all the plastics that we use, if we can deny that they actually have an effect, then we can live unsustainably, you know, with a clear conscience. But if we, you know, once we really wake up to the truth of what's happening, then I'm with you. It's like, how could someone live and sleep at night, knowing the damage and harm that we've been doing?
Are you there?
I'm here.
Hello.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I think I heard a static, like as if you left. You know, because sometimes your energy is so level, it just shoots the connection. You know. But, I had my brain just sort of blew it away at the moment there because I was, the thing is that, see, and I've been doing the radio, like I said, I started actually in the Navy. I did Armed Forces Radio, right?
That's fantastic,
Armed Forces, I was, this is my voice. You're listening to KNDY, Home of the Good Guys. That was my Home of the Good Guys, right? So I did radio show. But as soon as I got out of the service, I continued to do radio. And the first thing I was talking about is I started talking about climate change. This is 1970, okay? I started saying, look, we have a big problem here because you don't have to be a fool to see what we're doing, from the plastic, right? To the making it so warm that we're melting all the glaciers, we're actually changing. I do a column in one of the shows I do. I do five radio shows, and one of them is called WTF, and I used to watch Babylon 5, and they say, "What the freck?" And it's a show done by aliens who come to Earth. It is a group of aliens who will normally come to Earth. They're good old boys. They can do some fishing, hanging out. But this Earth is so unique because we have water, we have sun, we have clouds, fish. Find that anywhere in light years around from here. You'll find this is a rather unique little spot. And every alien in the universe who knows anything will come here and visit and hang out, enjoy this beautiful place. Anyway, these aliens will come here and they will be fishing, and the computer says, "Warning, warning, toxic, can't eat. And it's like, what is going on here, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's a real mess. But here's the thing, you know, the human. You know, I wrote an article 15 years ago. I wrote how to kill all living beings on the planet within 50 years. Okay, and it's. It talks about the 10 environmental boundaries we're not supposed to cross. These are logical boundaries. You think about air, you got water, right? You think about the things in the earth, radiation, you know, light. And those are natural boundaries. It turns out a scientist wrote a book about the 10 environmental boundaries. He said, "Hi, you must have read my book." I says, "No, but we're on the same page talking about the same thing. I mean, you can't live in a radiated environment. You can't live in a toxic environment. You can't live with your water's radiated environment, right? And these are all the things that we're actually done. We have crossed every single boundaries now that we're not supposed to cross. So there's two ways to look at that, right? You can say, okay, we're all going to die. Oh, God, right? And just and at least we can acknowledge that, right? And maybe either have a good time towards the end, or, you know, say, well, we can't do anything about it. You know, the human nature is kind of interesting because there's always something we can do about it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Right? And I think that that sense, though, of hope is one of the things that's also dying, though, and it's being replaced by the despair, because, you know, you start digging yourself in a hole. You get, you know, it's almost like quicksand. We get seduced by the habits that are crossing, you know, all these boundaries. But these habits, we think, because they're familiar, and they're what everybody seems to be doing, it seems like it's the only way to live. So, having the courage to really step back and rethink what we're doing, and to realize that you know, things like your mom had to say, right, about the garden and the dirt, that the wisdom is there. It's actually not that hard. It's really just really a breath away. It's not necessarily easy, because changing our habits is, you know, calls for a tremendous amount of courage and discipline. But if we have the courage to, even if it's one little thing at a time, if we start to reverse this, we, you know, the planet is quite forgiving, and it wants to heal itself just like our bodies do.
Lord will.
Yeah.
We're not the ones that are in trouble. The Earth is not in trouble. We're the ones that are in trouble. The human race, if they don't behave and act like good gardeners, because, you know, the Chinese have a saying, the frog does not pollute the pond he lives in.
Well, you know what? That's pretty wise of that frog. And so we could learn from that frog. You know, that's frog medicine for us. Absolutely.
Question number three has basically to do with, you know, the climate change, the ice melting, and there are always simple solutions. So give us an idea of some of what you think are simple solutions. You know, I know a simple solution for me would be is, okay, maybe I should stop using plastic straws. Maybe I should, right? These are all simple solutions. I mean, one of my first book was How Do You Heal the Earth in Your Spare Time, which basically, they are simple solutions. So you tell me some of yours, what you, because sure you have a bunch.
Well, there's a lot, and I never go far away from the reality that I am a psychologist, and I want to start there, because I think that number one, as I was just talking about, you know, when we lose our sense of hope and we go to that place of despair, that mindset becomes toxic. So I think the first thing we can do is just, you know, it's like shifting our mindset to just what we were talking about a minute ago, returning to basics, you know, living in a more hope-based, I call possibilitarian mindset, where we can be thinking about, you know, what can we do as opposed to what we can't do or what's out of our control. And interestingly, I think that also cultivating compassion for ourselves, when we think about, you know, how hard it is to change our habits and how hard it is for others to change their habits, the more we can be compassionate for each other and ourselves, that this mindset change even precedes the thinking about, although I'm a big advocate of stopping the plastic straws, about all this plastic stuff. But the other thing is, you know, in terms of mindset is really shifting to that back to basics. Realizing that we are part of the earth, and, you know, doing what you're talking about on your show. It's, you know, growing food, you know, supporting food that's from clean places.
Here's an interesting idea that I'll throw at you, and this is something that, so you brought up mindset. So I learned a long time ago that you can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Right.
That's a mindset, okay? So that's like a thing where if the horse is thirsty, he'll drink, right?
Mm-hmm.
If the horse thinks he's thirsty, he'll drink, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I've always been doing this show, it seems like, you know, for centuries, been lifetimes. I was in Egypt sitting doing a radio show, and, you know, it feels like it, because I always try to tell people, look, you doesn't do you any good to stick your head in the sand. At least you know something wrong with sticking his hand. But if you walk around ignorant and arrogant of what's going on, but you're at least, so the thing to do is we have to change people's mindset, right? So, you know, I'm not going to convince another person, hey, maybe you should meditate more, right? that doesn't really work for that person. Otherwise, he would have been meditating already, more or less. Or maybe you should have more bananas, or, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever, you know, because different people, like yourself, you have a challenge. How do you get change people's mindset? You start by compassion, of course, you know. But so what I did was, and by the way, my compassion started with the soil, starts with the insects. I have a book called Dances with Ants, okay?
And where that's a great name.
Where I tell people, you do not need to kill the ants.
Yeah.
Trust me. You do not need to kill the ants. Like I tell people, we're going to do like Captain Kirk. Captain Kirk would tell Spock, Spock, we're not going to kill today. Just say, we're not going to kill today. And you have to understand the reason why the ants are there, the reason why anything happens here. As soon as you know that, then you say, well, gee, that makes totally sense why that's going on. And so the mindset, so the way I decided to change the mindset, I learned a long time ago that sound changes your mindset. Color changes your mindset. And your body is basically an organ of light and sound. And anything that tunes frequencies will change different parts. And it actually affects your brain. Mm-hmm. Now, your two parts of your brain, you have your left side and the right side. You also have what I call the central brain, which is your pineal gland and all these other things. And there are ways you can, so I've discovered a way using tones to harmonize the left and right side brain. So if they're both brains, see what's happening when people have this kind of mindset, they're either working in one side of their brain or the other one, right? Mm-hmm. They're not harmonizing their brains together, because if their brains were working together, they would go, wow, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly, totally.
And they say, here's a problem, let's fix that. And ideally, you would say, well, let's not do the problem. Let's stop what's causing the problem in the first place, right? Because, you know, you're not going to fix the problem if you keep, you say, you know, my hand hurts, but somebody should come along and say, hey, maybe you should take your hand out of the fire before you, you know? And so the frequencies, the sounds, I've learned, that's why people, when they meditate, they do Om Mani, they chant, you know, like the mantras. When you do a mantra, that's also affects your brain. So that's what I do in all my sounds and my things. That's why I call it inner gardening music, and it's meant for the. And I believe that all living things can harmonize. When they all are harmonizing, everybody is not in their little brain thing anymore, and people can see. Well, gee, maybe it's not such a good idea to build more nuclear power plants. Or gee, maybe it's not such a good, right? And if your brain but the whole thing, here's the trick that I learned is that it has to do with group consciousness. It has to do, we have to act as a group. If one person is doing that, we're all going to just ignore it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, but if we're all doing that, and so that's part of the problem is that the human race has to start thinking as one group consciousness and have be on the same path, because we're all of us, we're just fighting. Like ideally we should say, well, we're not going to kill today, turn around, tell each other, we're not going to kill today, and we're going to put our energies into making this such a beautiful place we can never think of killing or harming or destroying anything again,
right?
that's where the Aquarian age, because right now we're overlapping. See, we're overlapping between the Piscean Age and the Aquarian Age. Whenever that happens, you have all this chaos. The fish do not want to get out of the water because they have to become flyers of the air, no longer sea or ocean. That's what's going on right now. We're going through this enormous change, and the Earth will be here. Everything will change, and how we change is really the thing we have to deal with, right? How we make it through this time of change, whether we are we going to destroy everything else with us, or are we just going to burn up in flames, and the Earth will still be here, and ants will be walking around going, what was those things? Remember, they would walk around 2 feet. What do you call them?
Right. Absolutely. And you know, it's kind of like when you go to the orchestra. I love music, and I think, I don't know if you know, but I was also trained as an integrative energy healer as well, and that integrated both light energy, sound energy, and so forth.
Right.
But you know, when we think about an orchestra, when we first arrive at the theater and everybody's practicing their parts, it's a cacophony. It's just like crazy chaos. But then there's a certain point where everybody goes to a place of stillness. And then the first violin plays their pitch, and then everybody makes sure that they're in tune, in harmony with that sound. The vibrations go together, and so I think, you know, it's kind of like on my website, which I'm creating as a place for resources, wellness resources, but also as a place of respite and community for people who are really trying to do what you're talking about, coming in that one voice of let's be a part of the solution. Let's focus on what we can do as opposed to what we can't do. And there's that one song that I love so much. You probably know it. A long time ago, Barry Manilow did a song called One Voice. Do you remember that song?
None of that, but if you sang it a few bars, I'll probably remember it.
Yeah, so it starts out with him just singing in solo, and then gradually other people add, but he just starts in, just one voice singing in the darkness. All it takes is one voice singing so they hear what's on your mind. And when you look around, you'll find there's more than, and then people, one voice, and it carries on. Then it's like, you know, two or three voices, and then it ends up with a whole symphony. And it's a very empowering song. And he actually sang it at one of the, what do you call it, the big awards, Nobel Peace Prize Award event. I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years ago. But anyway, so that song for me really captures the essence of what you're speaking about. That's why I'm saying it's about you. You know, this show's about you. It's about me. It's about every one of us, because we're all droplets in that ocean. We're all droplets from the sky. And I like to say that if every person thought that their droplet was irrelevant, there would be no ocean. What's the point?
It makes the ocean. You know, within the ocean is the drop, and within the drop is the ocean.
Exactly. It's all there. It's all there.
How many books have you written? You got some books too?
Well, I have my one book that I've written, which is really, I wanted it to be like the, kind of like the Bible. I wanted it to be a paradigm shifting book. It's called Yum, Plant-Based Recipes for a Gluten-Free Diet.
Well, Deborah is supposed to tell you to send me the book so that I can read it and talk about it. So you're going to have to come back after I get the book so we can talk about it.
Oh, you're going to get so excited, because you're going to see the many layers and, you know, talking about the bees and talking, because it's, you know, it did win the best diet book in Canada, and then went on, you know, and won a Best in the World award, as well as all kinds of other awards.
Your book did?
Yeah, my book did. Yeah, it got a starred review in Publishers Weekly, and then was chosen one of the seven best in all of spring across all genres of the books. It appears to be like all the other kind of gluten free or whatever books. That wasn't my initial desire for the title, but that's a whole other story.
Well, definitely want to get it and read it, and then I have to send you mine. And one of the things is I want to learn from you. I want my book to be like yours. I want people to really find it and use it and find it useful. I want to send you a free copy of my book, the printed version. You know, you'll love it. I might send you the color version if you're nice to me. The color version sells for $100, and it's only because the printer charges so much just to print the color version of it, okay?
I get you. My book is a color hardcover copy, 368 pages, so then you'll be getting that. So it's a crazy, I know all about the cost of the printing. It's insane.
It really is. They say you're supposed to, you know, I went through Amazon, you know, the creative space people, and the same book in black and white, it's only $20.
Wow, yeah.
You know, so, but I'm selling it on the website for a cost for $55. Heck with it. I'm not going to sell it for $100, you know?
Right,
It's called Don't Panic, It's Organic, and it's like my 22nd book. I have 22 books out. And by the way, interesting enough, you know, I was just at a doctor's the other day. He said that he doesn't believe in gluten.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't believe in gluten.
Yeah.
He doesn't believe it exists, or he doesn't believe it's a problem.
I didn't want to go into
details. What doesn't he believe?
I didn't want to go into details and ask him, wait a minute, you don't believe in gluten, or you don't believe in gluten as a problem? Because I was going, he doesn't really like me because I only take my wife there. He says, there's nothing ever, everything wrong with you. Why are you here?
That's funny. Well, the thing is, you might let him know that if he starts reading the research. So I had Alessio Fasano on my show about a year ago, and he's the kind of the head researcher at the Harvard Medical kind of the studies of gluten, celiac disease, and other gluten-related disorders, as well as other. He does other things, but he's the one who brought to our attention that leaky gut, actually what leaky gut is and how that is related, and the whole zonulin connection. So I'm sorry about your doctor, and I hope that he's open to reading and learning about what's actually coming out in the research.
He's a pretty typical doctor who, I mean, I shouldn't tell you this, but I will. So I've never had a flu shot, any kind of shot or anything, but this year he said, if you don't get a flu shot, you're going to get a flu and you're going to kill your wife because your wife's going to die. She's too old to get the flu, blah, 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 blah. She's 87, you know, and she takes the flu shot the past few years. She's been taking it because she's... So I got the flu shot, first time ever. And within a week, my eyes clouded up. I'm still having problems with my eyes and everything. And I go back and he says, no, it has nothing to do with the flu shot.
Yeah.
And so this is like your typical doctor who he does not. He says, "Well, you're so healthy," and he doesn't say, "Well, gee, why?" By the way, what? I'm not a meat eater. I used to be a breatharian until the breath got air got so bad, so bad. But right now, I have to, you know, make sure that my wife gets the gluten. And, you know, in the store, she says, "Is it gluten free?" They say yes, and they really should say, "I don't know," because it's not gluten free.
Yeah, well, a lot of people don't realize that it's. People think that gluten is just wheat, and there's a lot of you buy some teas. A lot of the teas have malt, barley malt in it.
Lots of sources.
And you know, there's just so many things you wouldn't expect, and a lot of condiments.
Right, and about going to a restaurant, right? Or forget about asking anybody, and even a health food store. I said, this is a health food. Yeah, I said, so you have no idea. If any of these products have gluten in them or not, but you're saying, no, it doesn't have gluten. The way it works for me, I do something, I eat it, I come back the next day, it has gluten, I have a gluten headache for 3 days now, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. So this is what I was really trying to do, and I'm trying to do with my book, and some of the guests on my show I have talked about, well, we talk about a lot of things, but different, have had some, and we'll be having more talking about this very important topic. But I want to let people know that whether it's gluten they have to avoid, or dairy, either have to or want choose to, because I'm also very much about people making personal choices, and that our bodies are all different. I have a baseline, which first of all, most people have issues with gluten, dairy, and sugar. So
sugar.
Those are like givens. And
sugar. I gotta have sugar. Could you have any sugar, lady? Lady, give me your sugar. I know you have sugar there. Give me. Wait a second, I'm calming down, Just thinking of sugar makes my body, heart start pumping as if I was actually doing sugar, okay?
Well, it's crazy, and the research they even show, I just recently saw a study where people were looking at photos, and they found that what gets reward system in the brain the most activated is not just sugar alone, not just fats, whatever. It's a combination of sugar and fats. And then the brain, just looking at the pictures, makes the reward system go psycho. So you're not alone. We all have that. But you know, the thing is, as you'll find in my book, I actually do use a lot of things that have sugar in them, but they're just different kinds of sugar. So fruits are full of sugar.
Yeah.
Even maple syrup. I don't use any honey just because of honoring anybody who is vegan. My daughter was totally vegan from the time she was 12, but I'm not 100% vegan, or you know, I've been at times, but I'm not vegan myself. But I want to respect people's inner source and their beliefs as well as their physical needs. So, you know, every recipe, it's like, okay, well, let's just clear the playing field and let's find, what the baseline of what probably most people, you know, when they get educated, will probably discover that avoiding wouldn't be a bad thing for them. And that's, you know, gluten, dairy, and sugar. Now,
do
in addition, go ahead.
Do you cover coffee?
So what I do is I have a 10-page thing in the back of the book, a 10-page chart with every recipe over the 368 pages, right? But every recipe in the different categories and everything, too, what page the recipe's on. But there, so it's not only free, everything's free of gluten, dairy, eggs, potatoes, sugar, that's a given. But then I have in this grid which ones are also or can be easily done without nuts, seeds, caffeine, soy, grains, beans and legumes, and so forth, citrus, nightshades. So a lot of people have different needs, and you know, whether it's due to heart issues, cancer, due to
If any of the food is genetically modified, or hopefully you're talking just about if people were to eat, assuming they're getting the organically grown stuff, or
yeah. Well, I do speak a bit in the front kind of part of the front matter where I really encourage people to avoid anything that's been altered. You don't really know what's in it, and also to avoid foods with pesticides. And if you can't. If you know, you do the best that you can, but if you can't, at least I let people know about the environmental working group and the Dirty Dozen. Avoid, don't eat, you know, apples if they've got pesticides on them, you know. But also yeah. That there's the Clean 15, so that if something is not genetically modified, but is you know, does have, is not officially organic, then those are good. But also there are also a lot of wonderful farmers who just can't afford going through the whole.
Yes.
So just finding out what your farmers are doing, and they may not be officially organic, but they're not spraying. They're not, you know, it's clean. They're farming clean. So
I tell people to. I tell people, know your farmer. The best thing to do is know your farmer.
Yep.
If he says I'm organic, you say, well, exactly what do you mean by that?
Right.
Are you using compost? Are you actually an organic farmer, or do you just want to be called an organic farmer? Because that's
right.
It's always an issue with me, because they have the nerve to try to tell me that they're organic. I'm going, wait a minute, so you're not doing any of the things the organic farmer would do, mm-hmm. except that you're calling yourself organic. And so your produce is not going to be organic. It's not going to, you know, that's why they practice, for example, integrated pest management, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's that word again, integrated.
Mm-hmm. Integrated. It's all over the place, yeah.
Right. So, but the truth of the matter is they allow you to use certain chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
These are the list of chemicals that's certified okay for you to use.
Right.
Duh. And so I practice like advanced integrated pest management, which means no, you don't use any of these chemicals.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't use any of these chemicals.
That's what you're going to talk about when you're on my show in October. I can't wait.
Oh, cool. I'm happy to tell people how to do everything from you know, I'm a natural arborist, for example. So, and you'll love the way I work with pests on trees. I, as an arborist, I say, well, what's the most obvious thing about this tree? It's in the ground. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
And so why are we paying attention to the earth, right? Why are we paying attention to what's going on there? And if that's functioning, because remember, like I said, people, the topsoil is the skin. Well, the soil in there is the same thing that's going on in our stomach. If our stomach is functioning right, then the rest of the body and everything will do fine. If it isn't, you'll from hallucinations to whatever, it's the same thing with the soil. So if the soil is not fine, how can a tree be functioning right?
And again, that's just like our bodies, because our skin, our gut is just our skin that is inverted inside of us, and it also comes from some of the same cells as our brain cells, and you know, and what goes around our brain. And so, a lot of people don't realize, like, oh, I want, you know, people say to me, oh, it's like, how can you be as old as you are? Your skin, it looks so young, and you know, but when you take care of your gut, then what happens is your skin, as is also the plant skin and the earth, the skin, it all changes, and it also helps your brain function better. So it's really a win-win-win.
Your gut actually controls the body and everything. It controls your brain. It controls your mind. If the gut is not producing and doing what it's supposed to do, your brain is not going to function right. And if your brain is not functioning right, there it goes. One of the things I was talking about before was, you know, we both were talking about a mindset, changing your mind consciousness. So one of the interesting things I learned early in life when I started paying attention to the health of the soil is called mycelium. It's a living organism that's in the soil. human beings, everything evolved from this organism. This is the world's oldest organism. I consider it one living organism over the planet rather than separately. It's called mycelium. And mycelium is a very ancient microbe that's been around for a long, long, took millions and millions of years, and people, human beings evolved, but we're different in that we decided to get off, like trees can't walk. They're stuck, they're in the ground, and that happens to everything. Sooner or later, some creatures said, well, we're going to separate ourselves from the ground, we're going to walk, we're going to run, we're going to do all these things, therefore we have our skin, that whole setup, but we still evolved from the mycelium, and the very same thing. And so what I think I learned that changed my mindset early on is I acknowledged that living being, that as a living being, and I communicate with it. And you know, I don't know if you are familiar with mind altering drugs like mushrooms and those things. Have you had any experience in terms of psychologists with those?
I haven't personally had it, but I've had because of the world that I live in and the people that I connect with, I have a great, great many people who have experimented and had amazing experiences.
Right. So myself, I started early on in my youth with these things because you're fascinated with the soil and the earth. See, I was making compost really early, and I noticed mushrooms would come up all the time. I noticed after rain, mushrooms. So mushrooms is one of the things I noticed that this, and I would say, and immediately I acknowledge that the mushrooms have something to do with the living organisms. And sure enough, the mushrooms grow out of the mycelium. And what's interesting about this whole thing is that if you were to eat psilocybin mushrooms or any kind of psychedelic mind-altering from a plant, they all come from the same source. And it's what it does is that it turns, I call it the mycelium consciousness. It turns you onto a higher consciousness, which changes your consciousness entirely.
Right.
That's when you do a mycelium, you think you're tripping. No, actually what you're doing is you're tapping into the consciousness of this being.
Yeah. Well, the whole landscape under the soil, under the skin, the communication, I saw this amazing documentary about how mushrooms are basically like the communication underground. It's almost like they are the
internet of the underground.
Yeah, they're like the bigwigs. They are managing the entire planet.
It's not the mushrooms that's doing it. It's the mycelium.
It's the mycelium
that does it.
And that's how they probably communicate through that mycelium network.
And what's interesting, too, is that that's how trees communicate.
Mm-hmm.
When the trees are growing, all things in the ground, when they're growing, they have roots. And they evolved over many years. So trees and the mycelium evolved together. And what happens when the tree grows, the roots are looking for that mycelium. Oh, there you are. Oh, good, good. And the mycelium says, oh, there you are. And they have special type of mycelium that lives on the root hairs. And what the mycelium does is that its job, I tell people that mycelium is the world's oldest gardener. It's also the beginning of the food chain and the end of the food chain. You know, when we die, we get buried, we get eaten up.
mm-hmm.
And so the mycelium, what it does is that its job is to, as a gardener, is to provide food. And the way it provides food is through the tree, because it wants the trees to be happy and healthy. When it dies, that's its food also, see? So it grows the food. It's to minerals. We are all about minerals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so human body is all about minerals. Plants are all about minerals. Every disease in the plant world and every disease in the human world are related to some type of trace mineral deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo. Simple as that. And in plants, when you have a trace mineral deficiency, it causes stress. Remember, the higher the what I tell people is the higher the stress, the greater the pest or disease. The same thing with humans, right? The more stressful we are, the more we're open to all kinds of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And what the mycelium does is it takes carbon, and then it takes the trace minerals and it makes carbonic acid. It changes the trace mineral into a form that the plant can then eat, which then we eat, right? When the plant eats it, something eats the plant, something eats that. Eventually, we get the trace minerals. And that's what the whole job of it is, to provide the trace mineral, and the same thing in our stomach. And there, you can't, I tell people we use rock dust as a form of minerals, but we can't eat rocks, can we?
Well, up here we have in our native community, which is called First Nations up here, they actually make rock soup. They'll put rock in the water as a way to get some of the minerals from that. So they don't necessarily chew on the rock, but we can definitely harvest and get elements from that rock.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because I know did you ever read a book called Secrets of the Soil?
Mm-hmm, I've heard of it. Yes.
You might find me in there. It's another one, The Secret Life of Plants. But the thing is that they found out that in places where there's highly reason why the plants are growing so well and everything is because the water's flowing through these highly mineralized rocks and it's constantly dissolving into the water and the bacteria and everything break it down. You get this highly rich water, mineral water, because it's all about minerals. So going back to the mushrooms and the mycelium, the mushrooms, they change our consciousness. They make us aware that the earth is really alive and we can learn from the earth. And if we're really good gardeners, we'll find that we'll be healthier because we, as human beings, cannot live. I mean, we can't be walking around like as if we're in space. We have to enclose our home in an environment. We have to live in spacesuits. Not a good idea.
Right, right.
Right?
Well, So it's interesting that you're talking about the minerals and the importance of the minerals and the absorption of the minerals because that's actually what a lot of people don't realize with gluten. Not only is it a big issue, but the biggest issue is not people think it's the stomach. It's actually not the stomach. It's the neurologic system. But in addition, because of how it does a couple things. One is it's gluey. If you put water and wheat flour together, it just turns into a paste. Well, that glue, it's one of the things that's great about gluten. It's part of what keeps things, makes that croissant stretchy and everything. But it doesn't, it binds, and I'm not going to get into all of the details of the, how the aminos don't break down and all that, but that's part of what happens. It doesn't break down, and so what happens is inside the lining of our gut, we have these little ridges, and in the bottom of those ridges, we also have things like lactase. So it's an enzyme that helps to break down something like milk, the lactic acid, from the milk. So when if you imagine you gum it up with Play-Doh, there's not going to be any of those great things that come out from inside of the lining of the gut. That's one of the issues. But the other is, if you just have inflammation in the gut, which we have a lot of inflammatory foods and a lot of, in general, but also each of us may have a unique profile of what's inflammatory. But if things are inflamed in there, what happens is it's through these tiny, tiny little ridges and these tiny little places that then the body can then absorb the minerals and so forth.
Yeah.
And that's one reason why people like myself who have serious problems with gluten, as well as a lot of other people, I think
mineral
probably more
deficiency.
People realize, can become mineral deficient because if the body's not able to absorb that iron, people having anemia, that's one of the very common symptoms.
Here's my take on it, too, because I'm actually an ordained minister, but I'm also a crazy scientist. I studied Tesla stuff and all kinds of things. And I've learned that through music, you can reactivate the glandular system, you can reactivate the neurological system. Let me do something for you real fast. Okay, hang on. I don't know if it's working. I'm supposed to. Oh yeah, there you go. I think it is. I wanted to play something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there it is. Now, this tone right here, do you hear it?
Mm-hmm, I sure do.
Okay, that tone right there will affect your glandular system, affect your endoglandular system, affect all the system, and all of a sudden it allows them to flow because it's a matter of energy flowing throughout the body that makes it work, see, right? So if it's not flowing throughout your body, that's why they have the chakras and all this stuff. You're supposed to have energy flowing. If you get blockage, and as a college, you know what blockages are, and there are blockages that stop you from, I'm going to lower it a little bit, so it has to do with, if the electrical system is working, and then the rest of the system will work too. And part of the problem is that it doesn't, when you, if you meditate, you'll be real happy, and all of a sudden you stop meditating, then all of a sudden the world comes back to you, and you go, oh boy, right? Mm-hmm. So you constantly have to be fixing the problem, because it's we're surrounded by all this stress and all this. There's so much stuff. People say, well, what's going on in the heavens now, right? You really want to know what's going on in the heavens? Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot. In other words, we're going through major chaos right now. Now, what I wanted to get across throughout this whole talk that we've been talking about is that, remember I said the Aquarian Age and Piscean, we're going through a time of change, a time of chaos. So I look at look at myself as warriors of light. We're light mm-hmm. warriors.
Yeah.
See, and we have to help. And a lot of people are stuck in this chaos. Oh, my God. 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 Oh my, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So absolutely. We have to help them. We have to help them say, wait a minute. Okay, just wait a minute. And if you stop, right, and you just meditate a little bit or whatever it is, because, I used to teach dance. So that's dance is a great form of meditation, mm-hmm. Whether you do Tai Chi or whatever form, including, prayer and religion can be a form of calming you down and letting you listen to the stillness, because that's what it's all about. As soon as you calm down, you go, well, maybe there's something different I could be doing now, right? Right.
Well, yeah. Well, that's it. But we, and it's there's a lot of stimulation in the airwaves as well as just this sound and everything that's around us in general. A lot of chaos. That to find that place of stillness, and that's even from the inside. Even when there's chaos in the outside, the more we can do things like the meditation or the chanting or the prayer, whatever it is that really helps you pet your cat, helps bring you into that place of home inside, then regardless of the chaos outside, you're able to hold that and actually have an impact on helping the energies around you and those around you who may be less regulated to find their own home with greater ease. So that's where the power of each voice really is. It's pretty important.
So I learned that there's two ways you can always do things, right? Something that one way is obvious. You do something, everybody knows it's you that did it, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's another way to do it, and it you don't get credit for it. You do it, somebody goes, wow, what happened? I don't know. And you move on. And so I've learned that, when you meditate and you become a powerful source of light and you give out that light, they're going to start vibrating to that sooner or later. And they have to really mm-hmm. fight it to not vibrate to that. Like when you
exactly.
go to church or when you're with other people and they're all vibrating together, you either have to say, I'm out of here, or you're with them, right?
Right,
right,
right. Right.
And a lot of ways, I prefer the subtle way, of helping people out. And, because the goal is to help them, not to help me. The goal is to help them. And I could help them and take credit. Thank you. But that's not, I've learned from after many lifetimes, it's much better you should sort of help people and just guide them. You give them the energy and help them to do it on their own, to maybe give them a little guidance at the time when they need it to most.
Yeah, because inside they have everything they need, and actually they have more wisdom than we can even help them with. So the more we can just help them to remember who they are and reactivate, reconnect with who they are, reconnect with us and then with others, that right. connection creates a beautiful harmonic power that takes that really becomes the wind beneath the wings of this bigger vision.
And especially the children, especially the young kids, they are so absolutely amazing. But a lot of them are in shock.
mm-hmm.
They go, whoa! It's like they came into this body, a master, and they're looking around, going, what the heck? What? You mean, I'm limited? I mean, I have to eat? And then they get involved in the political structure or the religion, and they go around in circles, and they're going, whoa. And so you have to kind of recharge your battery a little bit and maybe, hey, just plug this in here and see, and help them because they're a lot of them are not they're still, honestly, I can say is they're in shock.
Yeah. Well, but you know what? there's some really good news, is that many are awakening. And we saw that with the big movement around those kids who, you know, who were at the school where there was the shooting, and really trying to step up and say, you know what, well, it's time for us to really rethink this whole gun business. And and so seeing these young people who otherwise probably would have been pretty complacent, stepping up in passion and really doing what they can to make a difference was very our orchestra is getting bigger, and it's a very beautiful thing.
So listen, I don't want to cut you off, but I think I see an angel approaching me with wings waving at me. So I want please tell your listeners your book again. Your website and about your radio show. Go ahead.
Okay, sure. So my book again is Yum, Plant-Based Recipes for a Gluten-Free Diet. That's a mouthful. You don't need to remember all that. If you even just remember Yum, Plant-Based, you're good. Or Yum, Teresa, it's all good. It's all on Amazon as well as my website. But my website, which also has all the information about my radio show, which is about, you know, helping us all come together and make the world a better place as well, that is just my name, TeresaNicasio.com. And it's Teresa with an H, so T-H. E-R-E-S-A, Nicasio with an N, like Nancy, I-C-A-S-S-I-O.com. It has all that information as well as tons of free wellness resources. I've been curating some of the best stuff around wellness.
I was just on there. I bookmarked it, so I'm going to go back and take a look at your stuff. And are we going to trade? We're going to trade books, right? So I have
books.
Your email, so I'll get an address, you know.
And you can send me your address as well. We'll get that all good to go.
And I'm supposed to be on your show too, so that would be cool. And what I like to do is work out something where you're welcome to come on some kind of regular basis to do some input, because, you know, I want it to be a balanced show. Like, for example, I consider this show as part of my body in the garden. So you could be one of my body hosts. You can come on and talk about the body, talk about whatever you're knowledgeable in, which is happens to be the body and environmental issues, perfect, you know, for me. If you like to do that, you can do a few minutes every month, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, and I'd be delighted.
I don't have to do that for you, even though that would be cool for me too. I'd love to be on. It's just help. My whole thing is helping people. If somebody calls and I have this problem, then I would help him with that problem, because that's what it's all about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So thank
Absolutely.
You for being on my show, okay?
Absolutely. So TeresaNicasio.com, folks. And if you have any questions, just you can contact me through the website.
Okay, so don't go away. Just listen to just about a minute of this.
Okay.
Enjoy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to let you guys take about 30 seconds of this, and then the engineer will tee in. Ideal thing to do is always listen to this stuff with your headphones on. There's two different sounds coming to different parts of your brain and making the brains work together as one. If you listen to it just over the speakers, your brain will get, left and right side will get the same stuff. Okay, so listen to it headphones. You can always go to my website, invisiblegardener.com. Enjoy. Keep it on as long as you want to, Mr. Engineer. It's going to be another 5 minutes if you want to let them listen to the whole thing. Otherwise, you can just cut in whenever you want. You need to do it. Bye, folks. See you later. Thank you, Teresa.
I mean, it was a delight.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. See you next Saturday.